Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. It's been a busy day and a busy night. There have been, the biggest earthquake in Japan's history, I believe, centered 150 kilometers off the coast of Japan, sent in these enormous tsunamis, and it was essentially just like a nice low-looking wall of water that just sort of pushed all the way through, and nothing stood in its path. All the cars, all the planes, all the buildings and everything just washed away until the tsunami was finally stopped after it hit some raised highway banks. I think it got a couple of kilometres inshore, so our thoughts and prayers go out, if you got any of those in this day and age. And I think that both thinking and praying is a dwindling phenomenon. You know, frankly, we've had some Japanese people come here to New Zealand to help us out with our enormous earthquake down in Christchurch, and something tells me they're going to be recalled home. Get some nice, fresh taste of homemade destruction and nature's wrath. It's pretty rough, man. And seeing the pictures was just absolutely incredible, eh, Will?
Yeah, I mean, they were just... You don't know what to say, really. You see this tidal wave rolling in on live TV, and it's like, whoa, some sort of movie remake. But obviously very real for those on the ground there, and see individuals trying to outrun this front of water coming their way. Pretty harrowing stuff. Pretty shocking stuff.
Yeah, I saw this one bit that I found, I don't know, maybe I have a sick fascination with death and destruction, but you could watch the water as it was heading towards the highways, and there were cars still passing over, and this huge wall of water is heading right towards them, and just when it's meters away, they cut and they go to something else. It's unbelievable.
Yep. And, you know, straight away, of course, in these circles, people are suggesting the use of HAARP or other technologies. I mean, look, it's not a foregone conclusion. All I'm saying anyway, I don't know about a lot of people. Some people are saying, yeah, it's the end of the world. It's 2012. It's this, that, and the other. It's Nibiru. It's HAARP. I'm just saying at least we can have these debates on the table, and why should people be offended by subjects like HAARP being brought up? Why should they take offense at them? It's just a debate. It's just our open minds. If we have facilities in New Zealand, in Bursling's flat, we should know about it because it's on our land, it's on our territory. Simple as that.
Simple as that. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. Incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting on Rush 89 FM in Hamilton and iFinity FM in Invercargill. We'll be right back. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. We're trying to suss out getting on some guests on the air. We have almost multiple choice today here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In fact, I think we might bring the caller line on next segment.
If yeah, is our guest there? Is our guest Brent there?
No,
Brent
not
Conlon? No. I mean, no, he actually just sent me a message. He will come on next week because he wants time to prepare himself. And I'm sorry his brain's not prepared. He prepared earlier. He's was more than willing to rip on me all of yesterday. But apparently, when it comes to on-air radio, on the record, he's too afraid to front it.
Oh, you know,
so that's
people
what we're dealing with, Vinny, you know, people who aren't prepared in life, but they have to prepare for a show. If they're real humans, they'll be prepared to defend themselves from the word go.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I can do this at 3 a.m.
I frequently have.
And this is not being cocky, you know, this is just, you know, this is what we have to do, right, Vinny?
This is
reality.
Yeah, I mean, life is not a effing dress rehearsal, people. You know, if you want to back something up, you better be prepared to back something up good and proper, right and instant, period. Don't even mess around with this, okay? Get your stuff together because, for goodness sake, if you're going to participate in any description of political debate or any type of thing that revolves around trying to save the frickin' planet from total annihilation at the hand of evil bankers, perhaps you should know what it is you're talking about. Now, I could be wrong.
It's such a funny thing, though, Vinny. It's such a funny thing. Like, this guy was just calling me an idiot and saying, oh, just because of these groups exist doesn't mean they're in a conspiracy. And the Masons, they don't affect anything to do with my life. I said, have you been to Wellington? Have you looked at the Beehive? You know, oh, I haven't looked at the building. I said, what is it? What, you know, how'd it get there? You know, it just randomly built itself there. The problem with the world, he told me, is greed. Okay, sure. And ignorance and stupid people. Yeah, but stupid people don't build obelisks all around the planet, and stupid people don't construct beehives just out of the ether, and laziness doesn't build them either. And
the greedy people would take advantage of the stupid people.
And they don't connect also that the greedy people would come together and form cabals, and sure, they might fight each other because they're power mad, but at the same time, they don't understand how that powerful people, given hundreds of years, would arrange themselves into powerful guilds and then look to protect their knowledge and form secret societies. I mean, it's just common sense. It's just total common sense. Anyone would do the same with the same, given the opportunity, you know. That's what, you know, regardless of them being evil or not, it's just what people do. They arrange themselves like this. I just don't know how people get through life not knowing this stuff.
Well,
and then to say, I need a week to prepare for a debate, which you're meant to know off the top of your head. I mean, do you need a week to prepare for brushing your teeth and wiping your ass? I mean, like, seriously. Anyway, and the whole thing started with a mutual Facebook friend, a person who's appeared on the show, posting a positive link to Bilderberg, saying Bilderberg Group's looking after the planet and everything, and they're against the crown or something because they're globalists. I mean, the point is, most of these people wouldn't know about Bilderberg if it weren't for the conspiracy theorists. Back in the mid-90s, 1995, 1996, up until about 1997, if you mentioned Bilderberg, you were a kook. It was like saying little green men exist. Now people go, oh yeah, Bilderberg exists, but it's not part of this, you know, malevolent conspiracy theory that you suggest.
When you have to keep changing the line that you follow, then obviously whatever line you're following isn't accurate.
I mean, to say that simple things like greedy people rule stupid people. Okay, sure. But you have to do more than that. Greedy people then go on. They're not just greedy people. It's not like here we are at Greedy HQ on Wall Street.
These people make those big sweeping statements like greedy people are the cause of all the problems. But if we make one like it's the New World Order causing all the problems, they say, oh, you're just generalizing too much.
it's just so pathetic. It's just like, how did the fluoride get in the water? I guess the lazy people just put it there too. I mean, just because people allow stuff to be run on them doesn't mean that they're the architects behind it. And there are just, like, you can go to fluoridehealth.org and you can look up dozens of reports from India, Japan, China, all around Europe, even the British studies back to the 1920s, where they knew in small at low levels, below one part per million even, that it was toxic to the human body and had culminating effects over time on bone structure and the inner parts of the brain, the reptilian parts of the brain. The hypothalamus, the thalamus, the pineal gland, the pituitary gland, leads to calcification, leaches iodine, does all these weird things. I mean, this is well documented everywhere. I mean, there wouldn't be so many people against it otherwise. It's not like I just woke up one day and thought, oh, I'm going to pick a fight with everything. And all of a sudden, I just don't like MSG and aspartame and fluoride, all for no reason. I'm just going to make my life all that the more difficult for no reason because I just want to hate greedy people. Like, it was such a ridiculous argument.
Well, their other argument is that it's all laziness that accomplished it. And it was like, hold on a second, doesn't laziness not accomplish anything? Isn't that what laziness is, people who don't accomplish much? And to say that the only reason why society is so screwed up is because lazy people have for some reason gotten really, really effective at being like, no, it doesn't work like that. Only people who really work hard at screwing people over actually manage to do so. It's not easy to deceive people. Trust me, it's a lot of work. I used to do it for a living, being a salesman. Believe me, you have to be on the ball. It is sharp salesmen who look and pay attention, who make deductions about what you're thinking before you do. Through experience, doing it over and over again.
You know what,
knowing how to manipulate you very easy. And because you're so freaking lazy and you won't learn the same thing that a salesman knows about manipulating you, you don't know what's coming when it comes for you.
Look, one of these little porch masons is mentioning me right now, and I say that there are studies that have been carried out all across the world, right? I happened to mention India, and he goes, India, lol. You know, how credible is India? You know, just showing his own racism. India's a corrupt country because we have this bullcrap perception index of corruption, and New Zealand's the third least corrupt place in the world after some friggin' leftist, mediocre country like Switzerland. And we're the third least corrupt country in the world, so therefore India is just dastardly because, you know, you can bribe police there and you can, you know, it's corruption in your face. Whereas here in the westernized countries, it's, you've got to work your way up the ladder a little bit in order to see corruption. So all these slave scum, like the one commenting right now at me, can't see it because they're not up the ladder. And they don't want to look up the ladder because they're afraid of it and they're just grasping at straws. You can't cite a study that's from a country I don't like, that's not approved by me. I mean, how ridiculous. I mean, what sort of... It's just such a slavish mentality, looking for any position to justify themselves. It can't be true. It can't be true. I can't be poisoning myself with fluoride. Will and Vinny can't be right. I'm going to find any reason not to make them right. You know?
Like, we could say 1,000 things that are right and 1 or 2 things that are wrong, and then they'd say, oh, you got the 1 or 2 things wrong, so they all must be wrong. You know, it's just, well, for goodness sake, we're human beings. We're wrong a lot of the time, just like everybody else, okay? We're not God. We're not infallible. Please take that into account.
Yeah, but it's even like all these documentaries, Zeitgeist and Alex Jones and stuff and all of them, they're meant to be thought starters, not conversation enders. You know, they're meant to light fires in the minds of men. It's been famously said before. And so with smart people, that occurs. That occurs naturally. You don't need a documentary, actually. You don't need to watch, you know, all these docos to think this way. But it helps, and it helps shake people out of their tree, and it gives them new leads to investigate. But then these other people, they watch these things, and then all they do is critique it based upon their bullcrap mainstream knowledge that they've accumulated through propaganda pipelines throughout their godless lives, you know, like, and then they use their position of ignorance and well-formed ignorance to then justify their attacks against this new information, because what they are is basically an information racist. They're against information sources they don't believe to be true and credible. But who are the credible ones? Rothschild-owned Britannica Encyclopedia. They're good. Yeah? The East India-owned publishing arms. They're all good. You know? It's just Fairfax Media. They're good. It doesn't matter how much blood they have on their hands. They're good. They're trustworthy. They're credible. You know, all these guys, Harvard and Yale and all those guys, regardless of the being skull and bones, they're credible sources. They're good. And so all their epistemology, and they just can't wipe it back to sort of year one and go, okay, let's look at stuff objectively. Who cares if they've got 200 years of blue blood history behind their, media outlets? Let's just look at people on their own merit. Let's not be racist for a minute. Let's not just say, he's a nigger, therefore I can't listen to what he's saying.
And you can't say that word on radio either, bro.
Yeah, because of the scum who make all these regulations. I mean, technically,
if I was racist, I could call you one because technically you've got the right pigment.
let's be honest. I can say what I want here. I mean, I really don't care. Come after me, whatever they want to do. But the point is,
you might just come after me too, bro. No, no.
we can take a collectivist look at it if you want. But I take personal responsibility for what I say and do. So stuff them. If we have commie regulations, we have commie regulations. The point is, these people are just their whole epistemology and their whole formation of what's credible is so fatally flawed, where they give the criminals the benefit of the doubt, and innocent people just trying to fulfill their civic duty, you know, no benefit of any doubt whatsoever. They won't even give them the time to breathe. That's how one-sided it is.
Mm.
And so, therefore, how can they actually come to novel conclusions based upon a wide range of information? They end up just hoodwinking themselves, castrating themselves, blinkering themselves, like a dog down a racetrack. You know, just stupid morons. And that's how the system works. That's ultimately how it operates. They're smart enough to operate the machines. They're smart enough to do their dumbass day jobs, and it's got nothing on anything else.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose being a Brit, you know, you've got decent pause to say that. Well, isn't that the way of the whole world, though? Hasn't it always been screwed up? At what point in history has everything actually been sweet as? I mean, perhaps in some prehistoric land or some description. But you know, look at today. Tell me where you can go where there's a free society. Tell me where you can go where stuff is like perfect. It doesn't exist, does it? Are we trying to walk against the ocean here? There's so much stuff that's wrong that's washing all over us, and we're sitting here with a bucket trying to bail it back into an enormous ocean that's forever coming in anyway. Is that the way we really want to live our lives in perpetual frustration for the elements that we can't control? No! How about we look at the systems of control itself? How about we think about, just for a moment, perhaps might be an idea worthy of merit to analyze what's going on here just for a few moments?
And this is just where it lies, Vinny.
It's a little bit, a little bit of information that you don't already know can be so very, very dangerous. So we've got to protect you. You know, you're just so stupid. You can't think for yourselves or do anything like that. So we have to coerce your conformity with our fabulous propaganda mechanisms and our fluoride and all the poisons in the food supply and pesticides on the food that we put all over it all the time. Aren't we just so loving and caring and leftist UN humping sons of biatches?
I mean, this is where it comes from, Vinny. This is where it comes from. It's perception is reality. They're like, you can have your reality, Will, and I can have mine, and we have different perceptions. Don't you respect mine? It's just like Bilderberg exists regardless of our perceptions. Bilderberg's outside of my life, outside of yours. It's real. It's a fact. It exists. Bohemian Grove exists. It's 2,000 acres. Over 2,300 people go there annually. It's in the Redwood Groves in northern Sonoma County. I mean, listen, you scum. Oh, don't you understand? 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't matter what your perception is. I'm like, 2 + 2 = 6 in my world. I'm just like, you know, if someone points an AK-47 at you and unloads 32 rounds into you, you're dead. You're deader than a hammer. Don't you understand? It's nothing to do with perception. These dumbass people, they take, like, when their argument's over and when you've nailed the little bastards, then they go to these philosophical debates. And, Hegel, Kant, who says what's real? Who's to say what's up and what's down? Oh, gravity might not exist. I'm just a big space cadet. You can't prove anything. Nothing's true. There's no such thing as truth. I mean, these people just need a bullet. They just need to be shot, the little bastards, because they're killing other people and they're hurting other people collectively and they're screwing up this entire planet. And they're just, they just make me sick.
Maybe their life is just suffering anyway because of the choices that they've made. Well, maybe they're already punishing themselves enough with their ignorance.
Yeah, they're punishing me too.
But this is the thing. I mean, if you choose to participate...
If they want to have a different perception, okay, here's a perception for you. You don't need oxygen. Oxygen is a conspiracy theory. Get out of here. You don't need oxygen. The air being 23% oxygen, that's a conspiracy theory. Make it 60%. You go and breathe somewhere else on Pluto. I mean, get out of here. Get out of my face. All these people, get out of our way and let the good people stay here on Earth, less than a billion of us probably, and you can have... the non-oxygen or the pure oxygen or whatever you want, whatever your perception as reality world is. Go and float off in space with armless aliens or something. I don't know.
Float off in space.
They're just nuts. They're just nuts.
Hey, well, you know, that's exactly what I said to my brother, that if you ever look at society, think about mental illness. The government says that mental illness affects 1 in 5 people. I think, nah, bro, I think it's more like 4 out of 5 people. And the very occasional time you come across a conspiracy theorist, those are the people that are sane. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. And incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. And we'll be right back after the break. Proudly brought to you by GorillaMedia.co.nz. Thanks very much to our fabulous board op and everybody else here who makes this show possible. We're ripping 7 colours of Shiite Muslim out of the New World Order, and we ain't going to stop anytime soon. And we'll be right back.
You roam and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are a-changing. Critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. Was a loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
Senators. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. And incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Just chatting on the line with Benjamin Fulford. Is he the former editor of Forbes magazine, I think? Anyways, he's interviewed David Rockefeller before. He's a pretty awesome dude. And I'm just chatting with him in the background here on Skype. We'll be bringing him up shortly because he's just woken up in the earthquake zone in Japan. So we'll be bringing him up when he's ready. In the meantime, though, just updating the news of the day. China has also had a quake. We've had Japan that's had a quake. And I believe Benjamin joins us on the line from the earthquake zone. Benjamin, is that you on the line there?
Yes, it is. But, you know, I'd like to get back to you in a few minutes. All I know for sure that it's an earthquake weapon attack. It's originating from an underground base in Nevada and another one in New Mexico. And it's run by George Bush Sr. and his faction, as well as I believe David Rockefeller. But it's all about, you know, they don't want to give up their control of the planet. They don't want to release the free energy technology. They want to stay in power. You know, and they say they'll destroy the planet rather than set humanity free. And the only way to stop them is to arrest their leadership. We know who they are, and they're people, you know, in the U.S., in the military, need to go to those bases with tanks, blast open the doors, and shut down those machines. These people are criminally insane. They want to kill 90% of humanity.
Well, and I have no doubt with the technology they've got, they're going to succeed.
Not if you get their leadership.
Now, have you by chance got the, have you by chance contracted the dreaded Osaka flu?
No, I have 3 cats in my house, and I'm allergic to cats. it's for the sake of my daughter. Anyway, you know.
As you do.
But I'd like to get back on a while later. I just, you know, saying hi now because I need to, you know, I've got some email coming in from the Parliament building, and I've got, you know, various sources I have to talk to first before I'll know more than what I've told you.
Okay, well, this is kind of an emergency situation, so you can just go ahead and mute your mic there, Benjamin, and we'll carry on without you. And you can just come back in whenever you're ready. We're live for another 90 minutes, so you'll have a few minutes to get yourself together.
Yeah, okay, I'll be back in like half an hour or so.
All right, thanks very much, Benjamin. Thanks for checking in with us.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Now, continuing on with the headlines here in China, 25 dead as quake topples homes. And in Japan, of course, there has been the enormous tsunami, which has engulfed one of the, I forget what the name of the thing is, some description of prefect town or something. But there was a big oil refinery there. And I watched the fire live as it was breaking out, and it was just a rather large fire. And there was all these kind of big dome sort of metallic things full of oil, I presume, or whatever. One of them was on fire, and it was surrounded by dozens and dozens of other ones. And these are 10 meters across, at least 15 meters high or so, very, very large little silo things blowing up and bursting into flames one after the other after the other. And I don't know how many were there. It's just the last time I saw it, the flames were maybe 150 meters high, and they were lighting up the entire city. It was that strong, and that was brought on by the earthquake. Had news coming in from the NHK newsroom. I think that's the news channel locally in Japan. Their English office. Live images coming in of their offices being shaken about. Pretty dire situation, and everybody in New Zealand knows precisely how that feels. And I was just on the phone with my sister this morning, also update on the Christchurch situation, and she says it's basically sweet as down in Christchurch at the moment. I mean, in terms of her area, you know, her local bakery and everything is open, and the north and west of the city is absolutely fine. Bumpy roads here and there, but half the kids are back at school. Hornby Mall and movie theatre is open at just normal times, and everyone's going there. It takes a while to get there, apparently. It's one of the few malls that are open in the city. And, of course, everybody's been told to conserve power, but conveniently rationing has stopped. That you normally had to have like a maximum of 1 to 2 water bottles or loaves of bread, but that's all over with now. And so basically, it's just life as normal with a few shakes every now and then. And it was really kind of selective with who it hit, that earthquake down there. And out in the eastern suburbs, which is where the council, against a lot of advice and public opposition, gave permission for land developers to build on sand. And incidentally, because of the earthquake and the liquefaction, those suburbs are no more. They're going to have to be demolished. Entire suburbs. The amount of money that is going to be sucked out there is just unbelievable. Insurance ain't going to pay for it. I doubt it. You know, because if they did, they'd have to pay for the construction of two entire city suburbs, which I think would probably bankrupt any insurance company foolish enough to not try and screw people around, as they are all doing at the moment with the poor Christchurch residents. So I've been told. As if you should have expected any other different response from insurance companies. Scum of the earth. If there was only one. Yep. I mean, how do you suppose insurance companies make money? It's because it's very, 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 very likely that they'll never have to pay you, ever. But it's also extremely likely, in fact, nigh on impossible, to wind up not paying them in some way, shape, or form if you get insurance. Right? Nobody offers free insurance, do they? They just keep milking money out of you, even though nothing's happening. And when stuff does happen, they come up with every excuse in the book not to give you any money to get you back on with your life. How is this different from government? I don't know. I can't for the life of me think of a single example. Just a total freaking tyranny out there. Mixed with total natural disasters. Now, I've been watching these DVDs sent to me by the Liberty Man, J.R. Moore. He sent me a DVD in the post about a week ago. I got these. And it says, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. He says that the global warming isn't being caused by human CO2. That's just a misnomer. It's being caused, in fact, by the sun. And also, incidentally, the end of the world type scenario, as you see in 2012, is going to be the result of Planet X returning, which apparently NASA has found it. You know, I'm just speculating here. This is what they've said. I don't corroborate it. I don't necessarily believe in it, but this, I just think it needs to be out there for discussion. Planet X supposedly is coming, and it's coming up on the south from the South Pole, supposedly, and that's why we can't see it. Well, I don't really understand how that works, because if you've got satellites hovering all around the Earth, certainly they could see below them if they could see outwards. Right? Right? I don't know. I'm not from NASA. But point of fact is the U.S. Navy, particularly the Submarine Corps, has known about such events coming for quite some time. And in fact, there are maps that they've done where the United States is in fact split in two, and the Mississippi River is instead now about 200 miles wide and 200 foot deep, splitting the United States in two, which dovetails with the New Madrid fault line predictions that the United States will have an enormous earthquake in the Midwest there and will dump the Great Lakes into the Gulf of Mexico. That's 600 meters above sea level, the Great Lakes are. So a 600-foot wall of water would cascade from the Great Lakes up near Wisconsin and Illinois and all of that, follow the same course as the mighty Mississippi River, all the way down into the Gulf of Mexico and carving out everything in its path. This is what the Navy has had maps of for a long time. And when you ask, as a petty officer did, what those maps were for, he was not told. The one thing he was told, considering the map was done in with yellow marker where the new water lines would be, he was told, do not live in the areas that are marked yellow, which is virtually the entire eastern seaboard, all of Florida, most of the coastline around the Gulf of Mexico, and a fairly wide berth along the Mississippi Delta, so that the United States is essentially cleaved in two, as well as, and many people would be happy about this, the destruction of the west coast of the United States and the washing away of Los Angeles and many major cities down the coast. So that's, and of course, Mexico's coast as well is set to be gone. This is the supposed reason why in the past couple of years, and indeed up until recent times, it is impossible to get large orders of bulk storable food because governments and corporations, large corporations, even Walmart, has bought them all out. And they are building underground facilities to protect their own employees and selected citizens. Now, I'm saying this just to make sure people are aware of other ideas that are floating out there. You know, some people are talking scalar, some people are talking HAARP, some people are talking blind coincidence. But there are those in the military and in intelligence circles who are already heading to places that are 500 feet or higher to escape the so-called rising floodwaters that are going to be washing over us some point within the next year or two. There's no timeline for it. Nobody knows specifically when it's going to happen, which is quite conveniently if you if you want to have a lot of uncertainty in your life. But for those of you who want concrete evidence and things of that nature, it's all been proven apparently. And yeah, I would advise people to do a bit of research. Yeah, probably a good idea. I mean, me and my girlfriend, we went out today, and yeah, we don't have much money, but we managed to get ourselves some extra rice, some extra flour, some extra water, things that are of a perishable nature that can really be quite handy when the food supply runs out, as the 50,000 new employees in the EU employed specifically by the government to handle food riots would know about. Because the food prices, along with the fuel prices, and of course along with those everything else prices, are going through the effing roof. There is a disparity here between what people are able to afford and what things will cost, and it is about to get a heck of a lot worse. I kid you not. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We love to fearmonger, just like the mainstream media does. And in fact, the mainstream media will call us fearmongers for telling you any of this. Oh, the hypocrisy. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news, broadcasting live from the future, live from the insane, fabulous, fluoride fortress, F-head, country of New Zealand, where we've got so many morons per capita. Can't realize the economy hasn't collapsed in on itself in a controlled demolition like fashion because of small fires lit at the top. Welcome back. A ridiculously awesome co-host, Will Ryan, as well, joining us here. It seems to be a recurring theme, this sort of disaster motif, if you will. Everybody's freaked out. Everybody's getting themselves some copious amounts of food stored away. Retreating into high hill land areas. Military people, intelligence people, all doing the same thing. People who are ex-military, all doing the same thing. Everybody knows that something's up. Some people know what it is, or think they know what it is, and a lot of people, unsurprisingly, don't. Because it's not openly discussed. That's what I like to bring around to the people of New Zealand and the people of America with this show. Is to give you at least the side that you maybe not be familiar with, so you can make some decisions about what you want to do. About some research you might want to follow up. And some direction in your life you might wish to follow. Unfortunately, and I mean really, really unfortunately, our society doesn't seem to be geared up for doing things of their own volition. Seems to be that you either have to be cordially influenced or coerced into doing whatever it is that governments or big evil scumbag empires wish to do with you. Why is that? I wonder how long it's been that way since humanity kind of got psychologically castrated and threw them testes away. I don't think it was like a there today, gone tomorrow sort of thing. It's a gradually eroded process. And this is what I really, really don't get about people, is that whole boiling frog theory, is that, you know, you can gradually heat up that water and that frog will just sit there and slowly boil to death. You would figure it, like, just as good as it's kind of approaching boiling point, like even a fair way off boiling point, you think to yourself, man, this is really, really hot. I'm getting the heck out of this bathtub. Otherwise, I'm going to be turned into Red Lobster. No. Apparently not. Apparently, we're so doped up on vaccines, squalene, aspartame, processed raw sugar, and all of these other fabulous little products that we can owe our nice New World Order controlled supermarkets and New World Order controlled fast food stores, we can be thankful for. And you can get this kind of crap anywhere. You can go to frickin' Egypt and get yourself a Happy Meal, even though everybody is remarkably unhappy. With a slice of cheese that's like one chemical compound away from being polyurethane, just in case it rains. You know, get that cheese on your head, it'll keep you drier. Insane. Why is it that everybody's insane? Because I'm the sane one. That's about right, doesn't it sound like it? And because in an insane world, sane me must appear insane. But maybe I don't appear insane. Maybe I feel remarkably sane. In fact, I kind of feel like I am quite sane. It's everybody else who's just frigging nuts. Out of their freaking minds, because they're incapable, of thought. Because the capacity has been robbed away from them at every decipherable avenue. You know, it's like, sometimes I feel, well, like we're living in a frickin' set of Monty Python, you know? Oh, what do you want to do with your afternoon? Oh, well, I'd like to learn the piano. Learning the piano? Anybody else want to join in my little scheme of marching up and down the square? It's completely insane out there. Going nuts. And one thing that I really, really am, and I'm generally a pretty freaking tolerant person, I'll tell you what. One thing I'm really intolerant of is people calling me a freaking conspiracy theorist. I'll read them a headline out of Reuters and they'll call me a conspiracy theorist for it. Oh, the denial. I wonder if, like, conspiracy theorist is quite a convenient catch-all term, isn't it? You know, you could deflect any debate. And it's so effective a term that even conspiracy theorists don't like to use the term conspiracy because it makes people see them as conspiracy theorists. Get your
bother. I mean, this is it. I mean, like, back in the 10th of March in 2009... the Blackstone Group, who are a Rothschild front in London, reported that 45% of the world's wealth had been destroyed. 45% of the world's wealth had been destroyed. How does that happen when there's more money in circulation? Oh, because that extra liquidity is destroying wealth. But yeah, that's 45% of the world's wealth destroyed. That was just like somewhere in the back of a paper that I was looking through it in the business paper. It was just, you know, once again, you know, Justin Bieber and stuff like that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then you get called a conspiracy theory for knowing these conspiracy theorists for knowing these facts.
Yeah, you know what I want to see happen?
Your perception, 45% diminished.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's my perception. I think that Justin Bieber needs that one shin here he's been working on for 3 effing years get caught in the front wheel of his scooter and it pulls his head off like a champagne cork. And then it's in the middle of the freeway spurting out blood like a plasma sprinkler.
Women and children, frontline, log on, tune in, stand and be counted. Wounded stationed in the belly of the vulture. Watch your back, there's no civilians. Women, children, frontline, listen. Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Welcome back. Welcome back, to, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number 2 of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, going out live on 26 AM FM stations worldwide through the American Freedom Radio Network. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. We've got a guest on the line here with us today, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Shannon Phipps, and he's a radio DJ hostish type dude, and he's pretty awesome. He's had me on his radio show at KFM in Auckland before, and we had a very, very spectacular time. And we approached a question of argument before about the recent story of a Mr. Ken Ring trying to predict earthquakes with like looking at the moon and celestial bodies, things of that nature, which appear to a lot of people in the scientific community as unscientific. And Shannon was completely appalled at the concept of a scientific community was indeed under attack or not being listened to in this particular case. So we invited him to come on the show to speak his piece. And if I'm correct, here he is, Shannon Phipps. Welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
You know.
Hello.
Borderlining on fabulous is my party line. So remember, in this election, vote fabulous.
Borderlining on fabulous.
Yeah. I haven't quite achieved fabulousness yet. But now that you're here.
Don't talk it up. I'm just a guy.
Just a guy. Well, could you just introduce us? Because we've just got a little short segment here, and we'll get into the major discussion next segment, and we'll really give you the floor here. So, fire away, mate. Plug your websites and your show and all of that and all of that stuff out of the way.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, like I say, I'm just a guy, so I don't tend to any websites or anything. I have a radio show on KFM 106.9, which is our one of the local low-power FM stations, one of the best, lovely studio that we have. And really all I do is play music, and if something comes up in discussion, you know, I'll invite someone up who's intrigued me about it or seems to be up to play, and maybe have them have a bit of a chat with them. It's about all I do. So I have a show on Saturday mornings about 10 to 12. So there you were a couple of weeks ago, Vinny. And, last week we were talking about John Campbell versus Ken Ring, and that was, I do admit, that was quite a bloody interview. John Campbell was quite on the attack. And honestly, in John Campbell's defence, though, he probably didn't really want to do the interview at all anyway, but I guess his producers or whoever, you know, decided he had to do it because it was kind of topical at the time and, you know, it was something to talk about. It was kind of interesting. But what really surprised me was the anti-scientific sentiment that came out afterwards. It transpired there were a lot of people who were sort of tend to be quite not only disagreeing with science, but quite... not trusting of science at all, which I found quite disturbing, actually. I remember having a debate.
Should we trust the climate change science, though?
What's that, sorry?
Should we trust the climate change science and all that mainstream science?
Do we trust the climate change science? Well, there are a lot of scientists working on that sort of stuff, and to be honest, there's a lot of misinformation out there as well, as you would know, and a lot of it's, I would say, sponsored by special interests or whatever.
And we'll be right back after this very short break, ladies and gentlemen. Our very special guest from KFM is Shannon Phipps. You can listen to his Saturday morning breakfast show at kfm.co.nz. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Divided we fall.
Yeah, and no one like me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah,
but I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know can flow? Like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know wrote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this?
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, going out live on 26 AM FM stations worldwide. We're bringing you information and decent debate, actually, that you generally just don't see, because our society is so pathetic and full of dumbasses that they can't be bothered having a decent debate, even if the people that they bring on disagree with them. And on this particular case, we have a very special guest for you, ladies and gentlemen, from KFM in Auckland, one of these spankinest little fabulous radio stations in there. His name is Shannon Phipps, and he hosts the Saturday Breakfast Show. Shannon, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny.
Okay.
So where were we?
We were talking about the subject of science itself and how in the wake of the Ken Ring interview on Campbell Live, some people have been saying that there is somewhat of a, shall we call, rampant anti-scientific discourse, I believe would be the au naturel way to put it. And I'd like to know what your perspective is on this, Shannon.
That's right, Vinny. Not only anti-science, but anti-intellectual. I really do see it as a dumbing down. You see, science can help us be better skeptics and figure out when we're being lied to. For instance, I was talking to a good friend of mine a couple of nights ago. He was trying to bring chemtrails to my attention, and I guess that's something that a lot of your listeners will be familiar with, the idea of chemtrails. There's still people disagreeing about what they actually do. Now, I'd like to say that that is another area where a little bit of science could help you understand what's actually going on here. When you look up in the sky at a contrail and it spreads out in the way that a lot of people have been showing me, you know, in videos and photos and that, it's spreading out in the sort of pattern of a cirrus cloud, which is usually the sort of cloud that hangs up in the upper atmosphere. And when you see that sort of thing happening, you'll usually see a few cirrus clouds up there anyway. Now, my good friend showed me a sort of a graph that showed molecular weight against occurrence in a particular chemtrail, as he called it. And one of the points of interest was a spike around about the point of dihydrogen monoxide. Now, anyone with any scientific knowledge at all, even to form one
that's
level,
water,
you know,
yes,
12-year-old,
that's
water. Exactly, it's water. So why has this come to my attention? Well, alarm bells ring, right, when someone hears or chemtrail or whatever, and we're all meant to crap ourselves in fear.
Because they contain aluminium and barium oxides also. I mean, chemtrails, what chemtrails may or may not do...
How do you know that?
We can't know.
How do you know? Have you been up there to measure it for yourself? Has anyone that you know been up there to measure it for yourself? Where have you pulled that information from?
Well, we had the makers...
Sorry.
We had the makers. Can I answer this, or do you want to go?
I'll answer it. Okay. Because it's not good enough to say we had the makers. I know these people, they don't trust anyone. Shannon, this is the argument that says if you haven't gone and seen the bottom of the ocean, the bottom of the ocean is not there. If you haven't gone and landed on the moon's not there, because who are you trusting? It all comes down to trust at the end of the day. Chemtrails have been reported. These samples have been reported to contain heavy metal oxides. You either trust it or you don't, or you go out there and get chemtrailed yourself and look at it yourself. But, I mean, chemtrails do it. I mean, are you going to say that a contrail of water vapor lasts all day?
They do last a long time. But here's my thing. What is the point of them? Okay, some people say they're up there to create rain. Now, if that was the case, why are we still having droughts? We do have droughts. And Australia had a massive drought up in Northland just this year. They were in drought conditions. Surely that would help. Okay, and the other argument is, maybe they're to poison people. No, listen to me. Maybe they're to poison people, okay? If they were going to spray to poison people, they would be done at a much lower level with smaller aircraft. Up there is a chance of it drifting for thousands of miles.
This is the thing, Shannon.
Okay, and let's move on to something else.
You apply. Say there's
let's
this
forget chemtrails for a minute.
Right?
Let's forget chemtrails for a minute
Shannon,
and move on to some key misconceptions about science.
Shannon,
go ahead,
Will. All I'm saying is, mate, if you apply your logic, this is what people do. I say 9/11 was an inside job, and then people say, oh, it couldn't have been. Look, there were far easier ways you could have brought those buildings down. There were far more simple ways. And so you apply a logic, a scientific reason, to what might be an illogical system where someone has done something in a roundabout, illogical way to evade that very notion being thought possible. I mean, you don't understand the complexities of black ops or of reverse psychology, even. I mean, it's just,
don't tell me that. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about science.
We are. We're talking about no. We're talking about politics as well as science. That's what you have to realize, because who pays these guys?
Yes, and of course, so there is also the difficulty here, because each subject kind of branches into many others, and
that's right.
The thing
so
is,
we could go off on tangents all day. So let's narrow this back down. By your logic, Will, you're saying keep an open mind about everything. Now, incontrovertible truth doesn't exist for absolutely everything. We could sit around all day and wait for dinosaurs to appear because someone says they're a dinosaur.
If 60 minutes says chemtrails exist, you'll believe them because they're official, right?
And the
Sunday program... You believe in Iceland.
The Sunday program on New Zealand mainstream television has done stories on chemtrails as well.
What, on the History Channel?
The Sunday program,
the
you know,
German
here in New
news,
Zealand.
The Defence Department admitted to it. The German news admitted to it. The German Defence admitted to it. And it was in the Space Preservation Act of 2001 also.
Introduced to the House of Congress by Congressman Dennis Kucinich, chemtrails were number two on the list of things that he wanted to reband or something.
I agree,
like that.
They do need to be investigated, Shannon. I do agree that there needs to be a scientific investigation. But you know what? You won't get it, because the George Soros-backed scientists, the Al Gore-backed, the mainstream university-backed guys are never going to look into it because of their interests. This is the world we live in. Sorry, it's compromised.
Okay, well, that's great, but there's so much misinformation surrounding it. I mean, I went and did, because I wanted to believe as well, you know. So I went to have a bit of a look, and so many of these websites claiming to know everything about chemtrails shoot themselves in the foot by losing credibility. One such chap was talking about coming out of a dowsing conference and looking up in the sky and seeing a chemtrail. Well, if you come out of a dowsing conference, you already have lost my credibility completely. What dowsing? You know what dowsing is, right? So he's already
when you have a stick, when you have a stick that for some reason just points down and finds water, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's the thing,
that's right.
Now, that's
the more pseudoscientific babble. Hell, I wouldn't even give it that distinction. It's not.
Shannon, how about this? It's like people arguing, why did they carry out 9/11? Some people say, oh, they didn't. It was just to go to war for oil, or it was for this, that, and the other, or they used a nuke, or they used this. The point of the matter is, those buildings came down, and it had some government involvement, some intelligence involvement. It didn't come down due to Arabs on planes and a kerosene fire. I mean, we can know that much. Well, the rest we can't necessarily know. All the motives we can't know, because guess what? We don't work for these cabals who did it. And so the same thing with chemtrails, whether it's used to ionize the atmosphere so that HAARP can be more effective, whether they're used for radar jamming purposes only, whether they're used for oil exploration, whether they're used for earthquake generation, whether they're used to ionize the upper atmosphere, whether they're used to slow down...
Okay, we could go on all day about that and lose our brains by keeping our minds...
Whether they're happening or not.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You can keep your mind open about that all day, but really, you're just not going to focus. I mean,
what do you want to focus on? Any actual
real information that we can use comes out. What's the point? Okay, so let's get back on track here about science and our distrust of it. One of you guys brought up to me last week, that science is biased. Now, that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Science is biased. That's crazy.
Science itself isn't.
How can it be biased? Tell me. Can I take this one, Will?
The pharmaceutical industry, for example, with scientific tests in order to prove the effectiveness of a medication, you need to do, for example, double-blind tests, and you need to be able to replicate effects of scientific methods in a lab, for example, whereas the Diagnostic Statistical Manual is based upon opinion where people put up their hands to say, yes, this drug is safe and effective, when they have no double-blind tests and they haven't even passed placebo tests. Now, this is because the scientists at the panels of FCC have one or more, and in some cases up to 16 financial connections to the pharmaceutical industry. Now, these are people who psychiatry isn't a science, for a lot of people would agree. But there's the same principle. It's like you have the regulatory ability of scientific communities that are under the pay and influence of companies who have a profit margin riding on their very decisions. Now, that's where corruption comes into the scientific community. That's my point, is that that specific type of corruption exists across the spectrum. Every single scientific community out there, I would wager, has at least one or two or more reasons to not be forthcoming with their specific scientific results.
Okay. I'd say don't wager on that, because what you're talking about there is the pharmaceutical industry. Now, yes, they do have vested interest in keeping certain things secret. It's not truly the scientific community that we're talking about, okay? Now, we were talking earlier about climate science. Now, a lot of climate science, admittedly, don't agree. Now, that's the beauty. That is how science cannot be biased, because scientists don't agree. Then surely that's a good thing, right? Okay. Because they're having disputes, they're having discussions, they have.
That's not in the public domain. That's not in the public domain, is it?
Yeah, you're right.
All the public cares is the man-made climate change side of things, and 4,500 agree with the UN when they don't. It's a total lie.
Yeah, and that's the difficulty as well, Shannon, is that when 500 or even 1,500 people resign from the IPCC in disgust and say that the panel misused their findings and cherry-picked their scientific evidence in order to convince the public that there was climate change, that kind of information is not public knowledge. But whereas climate change caused this hurricane, that kind of hurricane, there's no real causal link between specifically the amount of CO2 coming into the air through human activity and the exact effect on say storms and things like that. So again, there's this disparity between what scientists actually say and what they say consensus is, because consensus is no form of science. You can't get mathematicians around to agree on consensus.
I want to ask you, Shannon.
Can I, Can I just finish? You can't get mathematicians around, for example, and agree based on a consensus opinion that 2 plus 2 now equals 5. You can't do that because it has to work. The formula has to stand up by itself for itself. Yeah. So this is the difficulty that I feel that the scientific community, in a large part, is being corrupted by various items in order to basically just put food on their table at the very least. I mean, if you have any desire to make money off of science, relate one of your studies that you're doing to climate change. You will get money quicker than you can say Fat Sam.
Okay, now what was your point there, Will?
Well, I mean, you inferred that we were, you didn't infer, you said it, that we are anti-intellectual and anti-science. What? For having our own conjecture ourselves as weighing in on the scientific debate.
But
you did in a Facebook comment.
That.
You did. You explicitly said that. And you said it at the start of this conversation too. You said there's an anti-intellectual air about this discourse. And I mean, we're far from that. I mean, the rest of society largely is anti-intellectual. I'm all for broadening our horizons. We don't claim to know everything here on the show. This is why we have you on the show. We're trying to form debates. But, I mean, what do you really think science is based in? I mean, when you talk about the empirical method, are you aware of people like Francis Bacon?
Of course. I've heard of Francis Bacon.
You know, his part of the Hellfire Club.
All I'm trying to get at here is that scientists aren't forming theories and then just sweeping the evidence under the carpet. You just can't do that. Once something is out in the open, it's out in the open. It's free to the public.
Hey, they said lead-additive fuel was safe. They said cigarettes were safe.
They said DDT was safe. They said Agent Orange was safe. There's a myriad of different things where the science has been proven to be fraudulent, but because the companies that are funding the scientific studies and data have a vested interest in ensuring
Corrupting science.
Sorry, go ahead.
Once again, you're talking about commerce corrupting science.
Yeah.
That's my real concern.
I mean, I don't have a problem with the scientific method. I mean, if it's applied as it's supposed to be, you know, with evidence weighed up and whatever, the only thing that I'm really saying here is that the scientific community is prone to corruption depending on how much money has to be made by the results.
We've got that established, everyone. I think Shannon's saying something else to me. I think Shannon is saying that science in and of itself is a pure thing, but I would argue that just like communism, it doesn't happen, it isn't carried out in a pure way, because there are different minds and different views and perspectives on this planet. So science cannot be pure, because everyone has an agenda. That's one thing we should all learn growing up. Everyone has an agenda, including me.
And that's scientific fact.
So what do you think, Shannon?
Yeah, you're right, Will. How
can science work purely in such a world?
How can science work purely in such a world? Well, you know, it's all about trust. But look,
So we've got to trust the New World Order guys, all the big money and all their corps and George Soros. We've got to trust him.
Why are you banging on George Soros? That's what Glenn Beck does.
Just because Glenn Beck rails on someone, I can't refer to the person without being related to Glenn Beck. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's absurd. That's not scientific, rational thought. I mean, come on, no, have another stab at that. I'm ripping on George Soros because he's the main financier of this whole climate change scientific movement, where all these scientific, logical people in our universities believe in man-made global warming. They're idiots. They're total idiots.
Okay, but that doesn't mean there's any harm in reducing our carbon emissions.
Well, the thing is, carbon emissions are linked to life. It's one of the four building blocks of life in every single human activity, from breathing to building houses to driving cars to fertilizing crops, produces carbon dioxide. Our very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Sharon Phipps from KFM. And after the break, we're going to be joined for a little panel-ish type discussion with Benjamin Fulford live from the earthquake zone in Japan right after the break, coming up on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio.
what it's about. There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about history repeating itself because we just keep coming on every day. well, we have kind of a panel discussion. I'm not sure if Will's too happy about this because he wanted you all to himself, Shannon, to talk about this kind of scientific premise and principle. But considering the opening subject of the discussion was Ken Ring predicting earthquakes with the proximity of celestial bodies, one thing that I was thinking would be a really good idea is having on Benjamin Fulford, who's in Japan right now, and he is now saying that the quake was caused on purpose as part of a covert operation to seize control of the world's economy. We welcome him now to the show. Benjamin, welcome to the program.
Yeah, what's happening is, you see, finance at its very, very highest level is the process of deciding what we do in the future as a species. Okay, if you have a money printing machine, it's like you're God, okay? You can buy all the scholars you want and all the goons you want and all the newspapers you want, and you can control the story that everybody, you know, runs on. Like, they create a theme like war on terrorism or global warming, and then they make everybody go along with it. The problem is that the people who've been doing this, okay, they believe that they're stuck in a cycle. They keep repeating these. It's like a loop. They think that they need to kill 4 to 6 billion people and have a population of only 500 million in eternal harmony with nature. And what our side is saying is that is scientific nonsense, and it's morally wrong. And what we really need to do is free up the non-dangerous parts of the 6,000 patents that have been suppressed for so-called national security reasons. And this basically means free energy and technology to extend human life. And if we do that, we can do things like turn the Canada into a tropical paradise. We can make 10 times more fish in the oceans. And if we achieve harmony with nature, then, and we end poverty, then I believe they will finally let us off this planet. I am under the impression that this planet is under some kind of embargo. You know, all this, if you remember back in the 70s, we went to the moon, then we're going to go to Mars, and we're all supposed to be in the space by in other planets by the year 2000, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we interviewed Brian O'Leary, former astronaut. He was part of the Mars program, and then it was cancelled allegedly due to the Vietnam War.
Well, we're under embargo. I guarantee you, they're stopping us. I've heard this from Pentagon people. I've heard this from all sorts of people, and it just makes sense. I mean, what we know for sure is that we can't go to the local spaceport and get a ticket to another planet. It's not there. And we also know that we're making a mess of this planet. And if I were an alien superior being watching over this planet, I'd say these people are dangerous, and we shouldn't let them out of that planet because they're going to go and destroy the universe. So until we clean up our act, we end war, we end poverty, and we stop destroying the environment, we're going to be stuck here on this hellhole of a planet. And the people who currently control the planet are very powerful, and they have a lot of people working for them, and they have a lot of big weapon systems, and they will do anything they can not to give up power and control. And this is what is going on. It's a battle over our future, and that's why they're attacking and trying to cause chaos. They wanted to create an artificial Armageddon. And their scenario, crazy as it sounds, and you can read this in Israeli newspapers, you know, and so you know it's true. They want to have a scenario where they get Gog and Magog, and I forget which is which, but, you know, Russia, China, and Iran will fight the United States and Europe, and 90% of people will die, and then they will control the other people as slaves. This is their plan, and we're trying to stop that because we think that's horrific. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, man. We were just enthralled. And, well, and specifically, I mean, in terms of the breaking news, Benjamin, I mean, you're in Japan at the moment. What city are you in? How far away from you are the earthquake? Did you feel the shaking at all yesterday?
I'm in Tokyo, and I could feel it. I mean, you know, I have a fish tank in front of my house, and about one-third of the water sloshed out.
Wow.
You know? So that gives you an idea of how much we were shaking. But, you know, we're not in the center. I mean, I had some books fall off shelves and stuff like that, but that's about it. All the houses around here are fine.
What is the media or your contact saying about the quake?
I mean, you can see it. I mean, it's on the television. You have tsunamis, and fortunately, I mean, considering the size, I shouldn't say fortunately because more than 80,000 people are dead, but considering the size of the earthquake, the Japanese are the most earthquake-prepared people on Earth, and they've managed a pretty good job of evacuating most people, and they're expecting more, and they're ready for more. I know, for example, that the gas is shut off in my house. They shut off the gas because they don't want fires in the event of an earthquake. And, you know, I'm hearing that there's going to be more. This is just the beginning. And for the next week or so, it could happen everywhere. And the other thing is that there is some connection with this supermoon that's coming up on March 19th. It's a supermoon is when you have a full moon when it's closest to the planet Earth. And that creates an enormous gravitational pull. And that's also linked to this. But there are technologies. I mean, HARP is one that's, you know, been well publicized at this point. And another is something invented by a guy called Wilhelm Reich. And what they do is they set up these kind of feedback loops of vibration. I don't know exactly how the science works, but they are able to create earthquakes with humans making the decision to do so, not some god or some celestial being.
We've had quite a few people on the show commenting on that, including a man from New Zealand yesterday who really broke down the HARP situation quite well, we think. Now, we've been having a debate on this show with our good friend Shannon Phipps from KFM here in New Zealand about the sort of anti-scientific, anti-intellectual sort of monologue that's been coursing through society and to do with conspiracy theories and things of that nature. There was a dude called Ken Ring who allegedly predicted the Christchurch quake that we've just had down in New Zealand, Ben. I'm sure you've heard of that. And he predicted it using the moon and the celestial positioning to say that there's going to be a lot of push and pull sort of on the Earth at that point. And it's cascaded open an entire debate about whether or not science is valid. And this, and again, like I said, anti-scientific discourse. And I'd like to know what your take is. If Shannon, are you still on the line there with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. So, because I'd like your comments on this too. Benjamin, could you please divulge?
I think that, you know, ultimately you have to see it to believe it 100%. You have to trust your own eyes and your own senses. Hold on 3 seconds. Hi, Mush Mush.
Oh, so Shannon, go ahead, and I'd like to hear your take on this as well in the meantime.
Okay. I must admit, Benjamin has some very interesting things to say there. But again, this idea that either the moon or the HARP situation had something to do with this completely belittles all of our knowledge of geoscience, which I must say is just preposterous.
Okay, Benjamin, what's your response to that?
A geoscientist, and I don't claim to be one. I am a journalist. And if you're a journalist, and if you write something that's not true, they're going to sue your ass off, and you're going to have to pay a lot of money. That means that you have to do some very thorough fact-checking, okay? Now, so I'll tell you what I know factually. I talked to someone in Pentagon military intelligence, and he told me that a gentleman by the name of Thad Allen from the Rand Corporation and 8 congressmen were in Christchurch, New Zealand, and they left 2 hours before the earthquake happened. That's the facts. I don't know anything more than that. You can speculate that it was a coincidence, or perhaps, some people say, they do have earthquake weapons. There are, you know, government documents that have been released by the U.S. government, official documents showing that they were contemplating attacking Japan with earthquake weapons towards the end of World War II. This is U.S. government documents, declassified, okay? So when I say something, I have to prove it, and it has to hold up in a court of law. And that is, as far as I'm concerned, as good as science. But when I don't know something, I don't pretend to know. I don't know exactly scientifically how HAARP works or if it works, but I know that many people in the government in responsible positions of power have told me such a thing exists and it works. And I have a rough outline of how it works in my mind, but not, if you want to get right down to the final technical details, then I'm not a scientist and I can't do it, but there are scientists out there who can. The patents are out there on the and for the HAARP machine, and you can examine them and scientifically test them.
So it is there whether or not you choose to believe it or not, and that's the difficulty. Even if you don't know the understanding of something, you still know that it's there. Like gravity, for example. If I was to try and jump off my balcony now, I'd go straight down to the ground. And even if I didn't believe in gravity, and this is one of the arguments we have here. What's your response to that, Shannon, or even Will? You've been kind of quiet.
Yeah, well, that's right. Gravity's we could say it's just a theory, but we can test it. We can test it, and it works the same every time. We always fall at the same rate, and different objects of different sizes or different weights, they all fall at the same rate, and we can test it over and over and again. What I really am worried about is speculation over ideas that that the moon or perhaps some weapons facility is causing some. We can't test those things. Now, as we've seen, I am fairly certain. I am so certain, in fact, we can completely discount Ken Ring's claims, because this earthquake that happened in Japan yesterday was completely in the middle of a new and a full moon, exactly to the day. So it doesn't stand up.
Well, did he ever say that every earthquake all over the planet's got to be linked to a lunar cycle, though? I mean, he just was talking about...
Well, this is his theory. This is his theory, and it doesn't stack up.
But is it the only factor that weighs into it,
though?
This
is what I was trying to tell you guys last week.
No, the moon's a real thing, though. Does it affects gravity, it affects tides, therefore it's real. Are you saying the moon doesn't have any gravitational effect on the Earth?
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Ken Ring's theory doesn't stack up, because what he said isn't...
Straw man here. You're attacking a straw man. I'm not the moon theorist, okay?
I'm not talking to you.
Oh, no, is your name Ken Ring? Benjamin, this is in regards to a previous topic that we're covering. There was a guy named Ken Ring who supposedly predicted the Christchurch earthquake that happened in New Zealand shortly ago. Go ahead, Shannon. Continue with your point.
Okay, so let's look at... There was a very good article, actually. I might have pointed this one out to you, Vinny, last week on SciBlogs, which outlined some of Ken's predictions. Now, earlier, he had already predicted the window of the 15th to the 25th of February for a 7-plus earthquake. Now, what actually happened was a 6.3 earthquake. So that was wrong. I'm sure no one...
It's a lot closer than the mainstream media, though, isn't it?
What's that, sorry?
It's a lot closer than any mainstream scientist or mainstream media prediction, isn't it, though?
No, in fact, the scientific community had already speculated that there was a 6-magnitude quake on the way, but I don't think anyone's sort of going to argue about the damage.
But no date given.
Mm. You see, and it's such a confusing one. Final segment coming up, our guest Benjamin Fulford, former writer for Forbes magazine, coming to us live from the earthquake zone in Japan, in Tokyo. And also on the line we have Shannon Phipps from KFM in Auckland. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, New Zealand's fastest 2 hours in talk radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. Two very special guests on the line here. I'm just going to suss out what the format is here now. Benjamin Fulford, former writer for Forbes magazine, is on the line with us from the earthquake zone, Tokyo in Japan. And for the first 5 minutes of this segment, we're going to have him break down the evidence of alive and active and working earthquake producing technologies in this world. And finally, we're going to sum up with a minute or so from Shannon Phipps here in New Zealand, talking about anti-scientific discourse. And finally, me and Will will wrap up the show. So, Benjamin, you have the floor. Please lay it on us, brother.
Let me tell you why I got started researching earthquake weapons. I'm originally a financial journalist, and I was exposing high-level financial crimes. And I was told, I was exposing corruption by Japanese finance, former finance minister Heizo Takenaka. And I got called in by some people from the Japanese Public Security Agency. And they said, because of what you wrote about David Rockefeller and these people, there's going to be an earthquake in Niigata Prefecture tomorrow. I have a tape recording of this. I put the date and who I'm talking to, and I put the recorder in front of these people because that's what you have to do as a journalist in case they sue you for libel later. You can prove you're not lying. And the next day, lo and behold, there were two 6.8 earthquakes right exactly dead center on Japan's largest nuclear reactor, which was not in an earthquake zone. I confirmed this with Tokyo Electric Power. So then I did, and then they took me, these same people called me, and they showed me a video of a plasma ball in the air that was filmed in Niigata prior to the earthquake. And that's when I started doing the research, and I looked for public documents and evidence. And there was a lot of evidence out there. I've mentioned one. The earliest is the declassified documents about attacking Japan with earthquake weapons using some kind of nuclear-type detonation on the ocean floor at the end of World War II. And then you have a lot of very suspicious things happening. When you talk about people predicting stuff, well, if they're going to cause it, they can predict it. For example, if you go back and look at the news and you see what happened with the tsunami in Indonesia, you'll find out that the U.S. Army already had a fleet filled with aid material waiting before the earthquake happened. Usually you have to put tents and stuff into a boat and you have to go across the ocean, but they're already there. The same thing with Myanmar. There was a fleet waiting there with aid before the big storm came and hit people. Okay, so there is plenty of evidence out there. That's when I started looking at HAARP, and then I heard about a guy called Wilhelm Reich who also had some technology of this sort, and I realized that it has to do with the electromagnetic spectrum, and it has to do with the ionosphere, and it can also be done with explosions at key points on the fault lines. So it's not fantasy. It's not non-scientific. This is something that they try to, you know, associate this kind of stuff with UFOs and crazy things so that people won't believe it, because that's their tactic. They don't want you to know this. if you were going to talk about a nuclear weapon before the first bomb was set off, all sorts of goons would come your way and try to stop you from talking about it. And that's the same thing with what they consider to be classified military technology. They don't want people to know they have an earthquake weapon, because then everyone will say, well, that's very morally wrong to go kill hundreds of thousands of people just because you want to get access to their oil or whatever it is they're after. By the way, I've heard that they want to the New Zealand to hand over their South Island to 1 million refugees from the United States, who are probably going to be kicked out by the Americans when they find out all the horrific things they've been doing to the American people. And the New Zealanders quite rightly said, no, we don't want you. You're a bunch of criminals, and we're not welcome here. They did the same with they also asked for Tasmania, and they're not getting that either. This is a situation.
And after this request was made, a day later, the earthquake struck by chance?
Yeah. check the airplane records and see that Thad Allen and 8 congressmen were in Christchurch, New Zealand. And that's not a place where, high-powered congressmen normally go, and not 8 of them. And they left 2 hours before the earthquake. That much I can prove. The rest, I cannot. I don't know. But
because
you can
we can't prove things, what does Shannon think about this?
All right,
I mean, we can't speculate word, because we can't prove anything.
Final word, Shannon.
Okay, that's the danger, and I'm
it's
hearing
dangerous
things.
Dangerous to have open minds.
Well, let him speak, please.
Well, that's great, Will. Keeping an open mind, but like Benjamin said, a lot of information that would be valuable is always tends to be tempered with pseudoscience and babble, like UFOs. He mentioned things that sort of turn people off, especially me. For instance, there I was reading about chemtrails and
your own inhibitions.
Sorry?
If information turns you off, it just shows your own inhibitions.
Mate, if someone is talking about some pseudo-religious babble in amongst all this, I am going to switch off because that's crazy talk.
How do you know it's babble?
Hey,
Have you disproved God?
No, I haven't, but I'm a very strong disbeliever. Science has freed me from superstition and believing in horse crap like that. Okay,
yeah, but
now why are you asking me?
The founders of science believed in it all, and they still do, and that's what you're yet to catch up with. The founders of science all believed in a higher power because science is nothing but a toolkit to understand the material 3D world around us. It's not the ultimate explanation, but you're yet to work that out. So good luck, Shannon.
Okay,
you're a combative nutcase, Will. Okay, goodbye, guys. Look, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It really
like
has.
It, do
but
you?
Two minds just can't get through to each other. Well, that's fine. I'm just going to leave it at that.
All right. Thank you, Shannon, very much for your time. Benjamin, final phrase before we end the show for today, please.
Science magazines are all owned by a very small group of people, and they censor a lot of articles. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
That's right. Censorship is a fabulous part of our society. Without it, it would change the world as we know it and love it. Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'd like to thank extremely much our fabulous guest that we've had on this week, and particularly today. I've really enjoyed the debate and the discussion myself, and a lot of our listeners agree with me. They've been messaging me and stuff telling me so that's good to see, and hopefully we'll get these archives up soon as possible. And Benjamin, I hope that you'll come on with us again next week to give us another update of the Japanese situation. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can catch up with our archives at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We'll see you again sometime.